sunshine. Give me a do. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends. Give me a do.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
Hello, it's Alice Arnold here. Welcome to the Magic Musicals and Theatre Podcast. This week, our guest might be familiar to you from the days of your childhood because he was a massive star. This is Jason Donovan from Neighbours. Here I am.
Yes.
Welcome to the Magic Musicals and Theatre Podcast. Sitting opposite me in the studio, the very one and only Jason Donovan. Hello.
Hello. Welcome. Welcome to me. Very exciting.
You're a very busy man, Jason. As we've just discussed, you have got people coming to stay tonight, so that's business of a different sort. But you're performing at the moment and you're producing at the moment.
Yeah.
So we'll cover all of it.
Oh, great.
In our interview.
Yeah, it's an exciting time.
At the moment, you're doing Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor.
Yes, at the Palladium, Sheridan Smith, Jack Yarrow, till September, mid-September, I think.
How does it feel not to be playing Joseph?
Initially, it was a discussion, and I've been very transparent about that. And we had a sort of a sing and a chat, and we all came to the conclusion that we weren't. It was, how can you eclipse what you did in 1991? How do you sell at 51? I look handsome, I look smart, I am a walking work of art. That's a subjective or objective, depending on what side of the fence you wish to be. And do you know what? They came to me and said, Pharaoh, and I listened to it. And do you know what? I'm so glad. I've taken that part, because I really enjoy going to work. I don't have a mountain to climb, two hours. Joseph is a relatively short show, but if you're leading a cast like that, there's other commitments. And you sort of come out of, interval and just smash it. You know, it's
the big Pharaoh song?
Song of the King.
Do a little bit.
I was wandering along by the banks of the river. Lawrence and Joe and Morgan, the creative, have really given me just the perfect sort of setting for what I would argue is sort of an emotional connection with the audience, particularly with Joseph, because I think there is a lot of people coming along to relive their childhood in 1991/92, the success we had, not just with the show, but the album, the single, and, to just do something a little bit different. And I'm really enjoying it, really enjoying it.
And there's this young chap, Jack Yarrow, who's just out of drama school.
Yeah.
And did you give him words of wisdom? He's had rave reviews.
Yeah, he has. He's brilliant. He's fantastic. He's very well, groomed in terms of, his arts ed experience. So he's sort of straight out of college in that sense. He's a lovely guy, which is... always nice to work with people, you respect and like working with. No advice, just be yourself. Joseph is about innocence and dreamer and adversity and you've just got to have a little bit of innocence, a bit of vulnerability about it. But he doesn't need to be told what to do. He sings like a dream. In fact, my son came and saw the show and brought him back afterwards and said, what did you think? He said, it's fantastic. I loved it. He said, that guy Jack Yarrow plays Joseph and the way he sung Close Every Door was just insane. I sort of looked at him with my eyes sort of, my legacy is in tatters.
Was it better than Daddy?
Yeah,
did you say?
But no. I think. Listen, I that was then. This is now. This is a completely reimagined version of the show. It's a little more punchy. It's a bit more modern. A bit more updated. I'm very proud of what we did in 1991. You cannot eclipse that. That was a cultural moment. I think where Lloyd Webber. Myself, you know, being a TV star, so a pop star, Andrew, Tim, you know, we're in their sort of their biggest moment, really. So the world's timing collided, and the Palladium seems to be the spiritual home for Joseph, and that's why I think we're having a big, big success with it now.
So we talk. I mean, we all remember you from Neighbours, you and Kylie. It's amazing, actually, that the two of you have had such phenomenal careers after what was basically an
TV show.
TV soap opera. Mind you, we all loved it. It was a very popular TV
show. Well, look,
soap opera.
You look at history. You look at, Michael Crawford. Some others do have them. You look at Johnny Depp, 21 Jump Street. You know, Guy Pearce, Russell Crowe were in Neighbours. We've all got to start somewhere, and I'm very, very proud of Neighbours and its legacy. In fact, my daughter is now a cast member of that show.
I know, I was going to come to that.
So, you know, that continues the sort of the trend. But what an incredible apprenticeship, you know, television is at that pace, working with creative people and a very young cast as it was back in the late 80s. Television was at its peak. You know, we were still scoring 20-plus million viewers in Australia. There was no YouTube. There was no cable TV. Well, cable TV was around, but it was sort of, you know, what didn't have its traction as it sort of did in the 90s and stroke the early noughties. So it was a golden era, and we struck. I don't believe in luck. I think you create your own luck. But again, I come back to this thing. Timing was impeccable for probably someone like myself and Kylie, because I came from an acting sort of family, and I'd auditioned and I'd done shows prior to Neighbours, and, you know, I auditioned for Scott Robinson, and, you know, this is where I am now.
And so you were brought up in Australia, but like most Australians, you have English roots.
Yes.
Maybe not most. A lot of Australians have English roots. And you did Who Do You Think You Are, didn't you?
Yes,
and
I did.
And discovered your great-grandparents came from Whitechapel or something. What other surprises did you find out?
Well, that was an incredible experience for me. I think what I sort of took from that was an opportunity I probably would never have done prior to the experience itself. I'm not really one in... Well, I am one in looking back, but I'm certainly not really that... Well, I am interested in my past, but I wouldn't really go to the lengths that they did to try and, you know, understand my heritage as such. Look, they can go two routes. They can go your father, your mother. They went my mother's route. I don't have a lot of contact with my mum, so that was quite an interesting way to go. And what I really discovered was this sort of combination between, you know, England and Australia and what we term meritocracy, you know, where, you know, I sort of had one side of my family was sort of, you know, the captain of the ship, so not aristocratic as such, but, and the other side was sort of, you know, a convict from East London. And of course, then they land in Australia, and this is the birth of Australia and the birth of this concept of meritocracy and why we are such a great sporting nation. When they came to this island, they all had to integrate with everyone. So no longer could the captain of a ship pretend that he was above the workers, because in 10 years after these guys got out of jail, they all needed each other. There was no system in place at that point, and that's where, you know, our Australia was really born from. But a fascinating 2 weeks of my life, and something I still look back on, and a piece of film that I love.
Yeah, and I know they don't tell you anything, and they don't tell you where you're going or what you're doing. And they're very, very secretive about it, aren't they? The team.
They are.
Incredible researchers.
Yeah, and I was, you know, when they went to my father's place to chat to him, you know, I think there was a look of disappointment when he realised they weren't going to trace his side of the family. But that is, you know, that is the way it is. Yeah. And it's a great show.
So then you came, you now live in London.
Yes.
So you've left Australia for good, or what brought you to settle
here? I'm always, listen, I'm a resident here. My father is English. I have an English passport. Look, it's just been work. I think for me, I fell in love with the work, you know, and I love the history of this country. I also love, you know, this concept that when things are done here, it travels to the world, whereas if you're in Australia, unless you're in lucky enough to be in something like a Neighbours, where it expands outwards, you know, most of Australia is you know, kept to Australians, where, you know, if you make a record here, if you do a theatre production here, it tends to spread mm-hmm. itself to the rest of the world. And I have a family, I met my wife, you know, I quite enjoy the seasons. As I'm getting a bit older, though, I have to say, a bit more sun. You know, I'm enjoying riding into work during this summer mm-hmm. As opposed to sort of wrapping up for the winter.
Yes, you've arrived with your bicycle helmet sitting on the desk now. Do you, you cycle all around London?
Always, yeah.
And you don't find that scary?
No, not in this. I've cycled since I was a kid and I've been lucky enough to avoid too many accidents. I've had a few, but I think you've got to have a good peripheral vision. You know, it's a bit like what you do on stage. You have to be aware of what's around you.
It keeps you fit.
Keeps me fit. Yeah, I say that. You know, well, you know, why would you be stuck in the tube when you could be exercising and then you've done your quota for the day? You know, that's how I sort of see it.
Good for you. I came on the tube. Anyway.
Oh, well. Sorry.
The next thing you're doing, well, you're doing that this at the moment, I presume, as well as performing in Joseph, is that you've turned producer, Jason.
Yeah, I mean, this was a funny sort of twist. Priscilla, you know, I did the look. Priscilla and I go back a long way. Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, the musical. Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, the film, and I go back to 1993-94. I was offered a role and I turned that role down. And Guy Pearce, lovely guy who I have a lot of respect for and I still keep in contact with, he took that part and his career's gone on to incredible heights in terms of the film industry. And I would argue that was a good stepping stone for him to get into that. So I do go back, fast forward to 2008, 2009, I think it was, Simon Phillips, who was the director of the Melbourne Theatre Company. I just finished doing a play in Australia called Feston at the Melbourne Theatre Company. I guess my profile, Priscilla, the Palace Theatre. I played a character called Tick there for a year. It's an Australian story. And it seemed to fit after that. David Ian, who's a producer, asked me to go into two consecutive sort of tours. And then Mark Goucher rang me two years back and said, what do you feel about Priscilla and would you be interested in producing? And I said, yes, because I love the piece. And I've always wanted to go in that direction. But I said, I want to be a real producer. I want to raise some money.
So
I don't want to just be a marketing. I don't want to just be a marketing tool.
Well, I thought you'd just be a producer that sits at the back and goes, no, I'm not having him.
No,
of producer.
Look,
creative process. Are you involved? You're involved in
I've been involved with a lot of the process from the casting. Look, I'm not necessarily involved in the day-to-day managing of the product. That obviously is with the lead producer, which is Mark Goucher and his team. Fantastic bunch of people. But I'm certainly, you know, one of the backbones of the piece. And I would argue that you see this a lot with artists, that when they get to a certain point in their career, their name can add value to certain things. You know, you see this in film with Brad Pitt and films that mm-hmm. he co-produces. You see this, you know, I think Michael balls, done it with hairspray.
Well, most of the television things you see now on Netflix or whatever have all got the lead parts, are sure. all in the production team.
Yes, yeah. So, you know, I won't be in the show. You know, that was 4 years and there was a lot of high heels and a lot of physio, you know, a lot of physio. And that's a, you know, it's a tough track, that show, you know, really is. But it's a show with heart and it's got wonderful, it's a modern musical of diversity and adversity. And I think it's a very topical musical in a way. And I'm really proud to say I think we're opening September in Dartford. So, and we've got a tour for a year.
Yeah. And do you think this is the start of a new side of career for you? More producing, more...
I would love to do that. You've got to find the product that you're passionate about and there's no point doing it if you're not. You know, am I proactive in going out there and looking for product at the moment? I'm pretty busy being the Pharaoh for Joseph. But you know, it's always on my radar and... You know, I like people. I like working with creatives. I think I have a body of work and a body of experience that can bring people together, and not just actors, but producers and directors, because of, you know, the way my career has gone. So this is a really, you know, good first step for me, and who knows where it might go. And it's, you know, I think we're selling extremely well, so I'm very, very pleased at... You know,
is your own money
going.
In there?
There's bits of that, yes, but yeah. I'm not going to disclose all that.
No, I know. It's just that, you know, it's a tense thing, isn't it? Investing yourself in your
I do have you know, people contributing, and you know, I've been very careful to make sure that I'm watching every step of the way is probably the best. But I think that the product is a good product, as I said, and it's a wonderful show and it's right for this time, and it hasn't been toured now for probably about 5-6 years. It wasn't even in the West End for 10 years. And you know, I feel confident, very confident.
Now, you touched on this earlier, but with the Neighbours, your daughter
yes
has gone into Neighbours.
Yes.
That's a strange turn of events, isn't it? Or very coincidental or serendipitous or something?
I think, well, look, to go back to my daughter, she, Gemma, with a J, she's done, you know, acting at school, and she's done Saturday morning stuff, and she landed a part in a television series called Mr. Stink, which was a David Walliams book. Hugh Bonifield Sheridan was in... the TV movie, BBC, and she did a great job in that. She did a Netflix series, which didn't really get the momentum here. She wanted to act. I said she wanted to go to Australia at the same time. I said, well, go and, you know, meet some people over there, and, you know, in a half term last year, which she did.
Is there still family then that's back there for her?
Yeah. There was a backbone of people.
But she's... English or brought up English accent, all of that.
Yes.
And she plays a long lost
Robinson.
Which is with an English accent. Neighbours.
Yes. Definitely.
It's lucky, isn't it?
It is lucky. I think she's, you know, she's very happy there, and the cast are very supportive. Look, you know, no one's going to deny that being a Donovan it helps, but you know, I don't think she's got this job on anything but her ability to act. She is very good, good little TV / film actress, and hopefully maybe in time, you know, she'll branch out into theatre and do those sort of things as well.
And you always... supported her to go into, or did you discourage her from
Listen,
going into
the business? My very clear. If someone is passionate about something, then I encourage them to take all the opportunities they can to pursue their dreams. My primary focus was for her to finish her schooling. You know, that was the most important thing, you know. And she did that, and she got her A-levels. And then it's up to her. You know, I educated my kids to make good choices in life. They're good people. They respect others. You know, they're motivated. And, you know, I'm really happy for her, you know. I'm not a showbiz dad, but again, if they're passionate about them and they need to get to an audition, yeah, I'll take them to an audition. If they want to go and, you know, go and do the school play, I'm happy for them to do that. If they want to go on a politics trip to Houses of Parliament, I'll make sure they get there. So, yeah.
So, producing, have you ever wanted to direct?
That's an interesting one. I look at directors stressed most of the time, you know, and I'm a little bit impatient probably for that, you know. I think directing really requires a lot of focus for a lot of hours of the day, which I guess as an actor, you know, happens as well. But again, I think you've got to have the right sort of project and the right vision. Probably with something like a Priscilla, I could. Again, with the, I'd have to feel secure with the product that I had, you know. You know, I mean, when actors sort of come up to me and say, why am I going through that door? Sometimes I want to say, because it's a door and you need to get to the other side. And it's true. You know, when Tim Rice writes a lyric, you know, cows and bows, I don't know whether he was really, really deeply thinking about the connection between the two, or whether it was just, it just rhymes. So do you know what I mean? I find it difficult sometimes to get into an actor's sort of headspace, you know. I think there's times and places for that.
Right, to overanalyze.
Yeah. I'm a funny one about that. I'm a little bit, you know, I think the time is right sometimes and the time is not right sometimes. You know, just go through the door, mate, you know.
Yeah,
believe me,
it'll
work.
Because you can overthink things. Yeah, you can overanalyze and tear them to shreds, and then you can't put them back together again.
Correct.
Yeah. Can be a problem. So talking about the future, so you're producing your Priscilla tour, but as you say, you're not in it. So after Joseph, do we know what's next?
I go to Melbourne to do Chicago.
Oh, you do?
Yes, at the Melbourne Arts Centre. It's a show that I watched as a child. My father did a version of it for the Sydney Theatre Company, Melbourne Theatre Company, in 1980. With a wonderful cast, and he was fantastic, and I used to watch it as a kid. I think I watched it 50, 60 times from the wings and from boxes, and I always wanted to play that part. And I've been offered it a few times in town. It's just never really happened. And then Joseph came along. Originally I was going to do Sydney and Brisbane, but I said I cannot turn Joseph down, but I'd love to do Melbourne. And they said, we'd love you to do Melbourne. So that's where I'm going next.
So it's all mapped out.
Yes.
If you could sing just one song on stage at the Palladium from a musical.
Yes.
Not necessarily one you've been in.
Yeah.
Your top pick.
I love the first thing that comes to mind is the song from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Come with me and you'll be in a world of imagination.
Imagination,
isn't it?
Yes, I think so.
I think
yes.
That's the song. I love that melody, and I've always loved that film. I love Gene Wilder. I like dangerous actors. I like a bit of madness too. You know, I've always tried to follow that sort of, you know, that line. Yeah, I've always been, you know, I'm a big Jack Nicholson sort of, you know, big eyes, and, you know, there's more you can bring to a character than just being linear about it. And I try and be a bit dangerous with my work, sort of post probably Joseph, you know.
Oh, I know the other thing I saw that you were doing. You're doing the 80s Invasion Tour.
I am doing the 80s Invasion Tour.
That's a big nostalgia thing.
Yes, well, nostalgia is alive and well.
It's big.
Yeah, it is.
Huge.
I mean, you know, I think popular culture has a cycle. We're seeing this with Joseph, you know. People like to reminisce, you know, and I think the formats, because we're in a digital world, we can look back very easy. So we can touch the past, you know, with our fingertips. Before it was, you know, pulling out vinyl and getting asthma before you dust the record down and put it on the thing. So, you know, the world is a little bit more easier to go back. The 80s, there was something about the 80s, you know, it was an incredible, and I see this, you know, when I perform at these festivals, 80s Invasion, people are not just coming to watch the show, they're dressing up.
Oh, yes.
Like,
oh, absolutely,
you know, the
they
past. The 90s wasn't as sexy like that. I don't know, it was a bit angry. It was a bit of a rebellion against pop, I think, in a way.
See, I went racing last night at Epsom Racecourse, where
right.
they have concerts after the event. And last night was indeed 90s night. And we all went, what do we do for 90s? We don't know.
Don't know.
Last year it was 80s. Everybody knew what they were wearing.
Yeah.
The 80s night.
Yes, yes.
But they but also I think it must have something to do with people of my age, in my 50s, actually
likewise.
still able to go out. You know,
yeah.
So we want to go out and see what 80s stuff. Whereas
yeah.
maybe a long time ago people of our age stayed in. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I don't
but
know.
We're all geared up for it now.
Yeah.
I saw Brian Ferry at
yeah.
High Park before
yeah, yeah, sure.
Barbra Streisand. But everybody knew every word of every song
yeah.
that he sang there.
Yeah.
And it was people of an age, you know, who wanted to relive that.
Past. Yeah,
that
I agree. Look, MTV came along in the 80s, you know. Music television changed the landscape because not just where we weren't just listening to the records. And let's be honest, we had radios, you know. Again, now we've got YouTube, and even in the 90s, MTV, VH1 music channel, you know, it started to sort of open up. So, you know, there was a connection with the artist as a piece of art and the music. And that, you know, started to become a palette for people. New Romantics, Prince, Madonna, Michael Jackson. Almost, they became like cartoon characters, you know. And then, of course, you came along to my phase, which was double denim and mullets. And, you know, I had my place in, you know, again, I keep telling the kids, double denim.
It's back.
Know, it certainly is back.
Yeah. They're all doing double denim now.
They are doing double denim. My son came to, was at school, and he got pulled up because he was wearing double denim. One of the teachers pulled him to one side and said, "Do you realise that your father was one of the pioneers of this look?" I haven't seen him in double denim since. So.
Musically, would you go into doing another album or...
Yeah, look, I'm going to be honest here. I'm not that proactive in that department. I've got friends of mine who are songwriters who work at it all the time. I sort of, with Joseph, I started to sort of go in musical theatre direction. And, you know, music became a little bit of a sort of a side show to that. You know, I used to write songs, but it just never got the momentum. The thought of going out there and doing a covers album of my favourite songs from musicals just doesn't appeal to me. You know, do I need to sit in a room and write about my thoughts and my feelings at the age of 51 and play the guitar till my, you know, fingers bled? In my heart, I wish I could write some... That's what I've always wanted to do, write a great pop song.
Have you?
But I'm just got other stuff going on that I'm not focused enough. And that's a shame, but that's a reality, you know. Maybe one day, I don't know, you know, but at the moment.
Maybe it's in there.
It's in there.
It might
definitely
come out very quickly.
Yeah, no, it's in there. And there's some songs that I've written in the past I'm still really proud of, but no one seems to be that excited about it. So I'm not that excited about it. And you know what? I have three kids and a cash flow, you know, existence in terms of trying to make sure that they get through their schooling. And, well, two of them are done now. So, you know, I tend to opt for the things that are sort of...
A bit easier.
Well, for me, they're easier. For a lot of people, they're probably quite difficult, you know. So, but for me, you know, that's a better option. Producing, you know.
Yeah. So, Joseph runs until...
September, maybe I think September 8th. I don't want to be quoting this, but I know it's early September.
Okay, and okay. They need to get there soon. Yeah. Get your tickets. So it's probably sold out mostly, isn't it?
But it's anyway, pretty
get
good. Your tickets for I have to say, yes.
And Priscilla starts
in Dartford in September.
So it's... So you'll be finishing one thing and... Getting yourself another. To Dartford yeah. to just check it's
yeah, and that's the nice thing right. about it. Yeah. You know, I can sort of dip in and dip out and do the things that people do. Maybe turn up on a Monday in Real or Blackpool or you know or Manchester and you know try mm-hmm. and make sure everyone's okay. It's just a nice thing to do. I feel excited about that.
And then you're going to hop on your bike now.
I am.
And go back home.
And go back home as it's raining outside.
It's raining.
Oh.
Yeah, you'll get wet on your bike.
Horrific. But, that's where I don't like riding, you see.
But you'll be fitter than I will going
probably.
Back on the Piccadilly line.
Probably.
So, you know, you win.
You're honest.
Yeah. Jason Donovan, thank you so much for coming in and chatting to us. It's been brilliant.
Great.
Thank you. Was Jason Donovan talking to us, and if you enjoyed that podcast, well, you can rate it. You give it marks out of 10 or something. I don't give it a few. Don't go over the top because people will be suspicious. And if you go to the website, you can also download all the past ones in the series. So enjoy doing that.
Did you know that Byers Airport Subaru is the oldest Subaru retailer in the entire country?
Get a new 2026 Subaru Forester with 1.9% APR financing for up to 63 months.
Easy to deal with, easy to get to. Byers Airport Subaru.
By the airport!
See dealer for details. Offer ends 3/31/26.